Hey, it is 2:59 and time for Arts Live and Local. I have something else for you right now. I'm going to start right off with some music from someone who is not my guest. And I'm going to let you have a listen and then tell you who this is. I will let you know this is happening at Gala tomorrow evening at 9 o'clock with an opening act at 8 p.m. Have a listen. Thanks so much for being here. That is Fawn Fables, and it's they are coming to Gala, 1017 Marine Drive in Astoria, tomorrow night. Good luck tomorrow night, folks. Good luck tomorrow. It's a very, very rich, full day, and if you're quick, you can do a lot and enjoy yourself thoroughly. That's what I plan to do. Fawn Fables is a crossroad where ancient ballad and song, physical theater, and rock music meet. Fronted by the dynamic Dawn McCarthy, doors open at 7:30 because there is an opening act at 8 p.m. And that is Arrington de Dioniso on bass clarinet with artist Paul Hoskin, contrabass clarinet, and vocalist, guitarist, Eric Conley. Of course, Paul Hoskin has been here numerous times. So, 8 o'clock for the opening act, 9 o'clock for Fawn Fables. Probably good to get there earlier. And that's all at Gala. Don't say we don't bring you incredible stuff, because my first guests are going to share some incredible stuff right now, actually. Welcome. Hi.
Hi, Carol.
I have Matt Love. Oh, well, the siren went off just as I said your name. That must be meaningful. Matt Love is here, and Matt Love has been here before, and Matt Love is all over Astoria, and we are thrilled because he used to be down the coast a ways, and now we have Tim Sproul here. And Tim, where do you live?
Hi, Carol. I live in Milwaukee. Yeah.
Oh, you're an inlander.
That's it.
Okay. I thought maybe you were in Newport from that new book of yours.
Well, I grew up in Newport, and it's a hard place to leave, so I'm still sort of in Newport. 1 foot there, 1 foot in the valley.
Okay. Yeah. Nice to, you know, I grew up in Brooklyn, and it's nice to have those good places to have grown up in.
It is.
Be able to slip back in. Well, tomorrow is the big day for Matt and Tim and Willie Vlauten. All sorts of sound effects. It's wonderful. They are giving us, I'm going to let them tell you about it, the Oregon Story Sessions, starting out at noon at Godfather's Books on Commercial, and then heading over at 2:30. I'm just giving you the outline. They'll give you the details at the Fort George Lovell Room, and that's on 14th and Duane. And then at 6:30 in the evening, they head out to those of you who have seen Matt's writings in Hip Fish and I believe now in Coast Weekend. But he used to, maybe still does, basically go to all the bars and tell us what they were about. I'm sure he didn't drink much.
You mostly just observe and listen. And these coastal taverns and bars are story factories. I really think I've got some of my best stories of all time, just being in those places and listening to people.
Well, one of the most wonderful things that you have continued to bring us, I think, because so many people have lost the essence, the understanding of what life was like, especially in Portland, mm-hmm. also Astoria. And so when I mention these bars, I mean seriously. You go in and check out places that other people might just go by and say, I don't know. And you find very rich stories. So Big O Saloon's been out in Olney. Of course, it wasn't a saloon always.
No.
But it is now. And you've chosen that as your venue a couple of times.
Yes, they have probably the premier outdoor patio on the Oregon coast, and really nobody knows about it. There's an outdoor stage. It's family run. There's a fire pit. It's family friendly till like 9 o'clock out on the patio, and the proprietors out there, Dale and Sharon Serrells, have been great to me, and want to collaborate with a writer and musician to stage unique literary events, which is what the Oregon Story Sessions is all about.
Let's back up a little bit and tell us what's the concept and how are you putting this together and how does Tim fit in and Willie? And
well, Tim and Willie are superb storytellers through poetry, through music, through fiction. And the philosophy of this, and Tim and I have been just barnstorming down the Oregon coast. We were over at Powell's on Monday. And,
oh, my.
And that we want to take storytelling to non-traditional venues to reach people who otherwise would never be reached because they don't go to bookstores for
mm-hmm.
events.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I can speak for Tim that have found incredible richness in meeting people who otherwise would never come to our stories, our books, or Willie's music. And I mean, Tim just did an event on Jerry's jet boat going up the Rogue River.
Wow.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean, reciting poetry and bringing it to these non-traditional venues. And the people, since I've been doing this kind of thing for the last couple of years, Carol, have really responded.
Mm-hmm.
And I've enjoyed that.
You know, everywhere. First of all, you've chosen the word story rather than book.
That's right.
Which it's kind of like when I use the word movement instead of dance. It sort of diffuses because everybody's got a story. Everyone is a story of our lives. So when you open it up that way, I think that invites people.
Absolutely.
You don't have to be a writer to write the book. You tell your story. But you guys are particularly good at this. and you've managed to find, just as we were talking about the bars, find some things or people or events to write about that are worth telling and are perhaps unknown. So what happens tomorrow?
Well, we're going to kick it off at Godfather's Books, run by Charlie Holbrook, who has been great to me the last, well, ever since I started getting the writing going and the publishing.
Wonderful.
I mean, I've sold probably 500 books out of that place. So we're going to start there because they all want to meet Willie Vlotten. Everybody at Godfathers wants to meet Willie because they sold a lot of his books there, and he's going to play music, and then Tim's going to launch into his wonderful stories and poems about the Pacific Coast and him growing up, and he can speak to that in a minute, growing up in Newport. Then we move over to 2:30 to the showroom.
So how long-ish?
I'm thinking an hour.
Okay.
An hour at Godfather's, an hour at the showroom at Fort George, and then much later at the Big O because I got a band to wrap it all up.
Okay.
And I will say this, Carol, there is a special guest at the Fort George event. Meriwether Lewis is putting in an appearance because he wrote the preface for my book, and I had to coax him, but he's going to come and tell us a few stories.
He must be a little creaky.
Yeah, well,
it's been a while.
You know, this, I love the organic things that happen too. We have someone wrote me about a musician who's going to be in town, wanted a spot on the radio, and indeed he's going to be on Albert's show so he can play music.
Great.
And she said, this is his LNC song. So I'm listening, and the first word is Meriwether, and that was all. I never heard about LNC again, but I guess, well, that qualifies it. So, you know, and here he comes.
I had to get him at the gig.
You had to get him.
Right.
All right.
I mean, we literally, if we have time and somebody brings their guitar and they've got some kind of Oregon theme song, we're going to put them up.
All right. Oh, boy. There you go, folks. A kind of open mic there. So.
Yes.
Okay. So then what street is Godfather? It's Commercial and
it's on. It's on Commercial.
Yeah.
Right there on 11th. Commercial
11th. Okay. I couldn't remember the 11th. Okay. And then, so that's at noon. Then 2:30 at Fort George Lovell Room, which again is 14th and Duane, right down the road from KMUN. And you're going to be in the room with those casks.
All the casks. And all these events are free. And, you know, and it's not about selling the books. We're just trying to. I know Tim can speak to this too, and we're just trying to entertain and make people, and also come away thinking a little bit about where they are.
I love this idea of making it into a full day, though. Yeah,
I think the idea of story is the sense that we want to revive the sense of storytelling and democratize it so that it's accessible relatable to everybody, but still honors language and has the snap and surprise of poetic language and the beauty of language and the beauty of this area we live in. So we love that, the tension of the beauty here and the danger as well of people who make their living on the sea.
Mm-hmm.
And we really like to engage with those people. So we do find these great stories and poems and rhythms of people's lives in taverns, you know, on street corners. And it's not always in, you know, the so-called ivory tower of academia. So I think Matt and I both share that in common, that passion for connecting with real people and real stories.
And maybe when people come and hear, a lot of people, as you said, are intimidated by books or writing. But once people start hearing your content and saying, oh, well, I've got that too, but not quite having the discipline of writing it down. So it's nice to hear you and see your regular guys. You should see what they look like, folks. I mean, they're both gorgeous, but you should see what they look like.
Carol!
Anyway.
Public
it's going out all over the radio, all over the world, I should say. But it's good because then it enables people to think, well, maybe, and especially locally right here. So, and your material, how long have you lived inland? When did you leave Newport?
Well, I've lived in Portland for about 15 years, but I did grow up in Newport. My dad worked on the ocean for 40 years on the Pacific as an engineer running large ships, the Oregon State Marine Science Center research vessel, Yuquina. So sailing away for 2 months at a chunk and then coming back home. So his home was the sea. And the ocean was my backyard. I grew up about two blocks from the ocean.
And you like living in the city, though?
I do. I love the culture of Portland. It's very dynamic, obviously, and progressive, and it's a haven for the arts. But like I said, I always have one foot on you know, on the coast, and am attracted to the not just the beauty, but the people and the ruggedness and the generosity of spirit that you find in fishermen and loggers and grocery clerks.
Well, you know, it's interesting, though, you two have switched, because where did you grow up, Matt?
I grew up in Oregon City.
Yeah.
I didn't really find that this voice or wanting to write about these subjects until I moved to the Oregon coast and connected to the ocean and our public beaches and some of these dive bars and then moving to Astoria a year and a half ago. I mean, I wasn't even going to write a book about this town. I mean, I was on another project, and then all of a sudden,
couldn't help myself.
I mean, literally. I know some people have said that before, but it came fast. And the people here have been very receptive to the book. It's selling incredibly well.
And the name of the book, I'll let you say.
It's called A Nice Piece of Astoria, a narrative guide. It's got a kind of a cartoony figure on draped around the column. And that was aggressive, as Tim said, and it got it banned in a couple places in in town, but they didn't read the book.
Right.
Because I wrote a love letter to this town.
Yeah, you did.
And I'm teaching at the public school now. This is my home. I'm going to buy a home here in a year.
Yeah.
And so, this is a city on a hill, and they're often more interesting than cities at sea level.
Well, I also appreciate that you bring, for example, you know, bringing Tim out here and bringing Willie up here because he's been down on Kennett Beach.
Sure.
But, so... That's good. That's lovely for us. So how is Godfathers and Fort George, obviously the atmosphere is totally different.
It's totally different. And as Tim always says, I mean, we're going to judge what's in front of us and what we're going to read and what we're going to play. And we're going to keep it moving. One of the thing I like about working with Tim, like we start on time and we end early and it's moving and it's giving people right when they think they want more, we're done.
Right. And one thing we're doing, too, is we're fusing music with the spoken word, with the narrative and the story and the poem. So Willie's going to play guitar. There's going to be a flautist. You know, so that the language of poetry comes alive with music. And music, of course, has great lyrical sense. So we love to cross-pollinate the genres.
Yeah. Absolutely. Love it. Okay, is 6:30 at the Big O, is that going to also be stories?
Well, yes, we're going to have a contest called the Most Dangerous Astoria Story Contest. We did this last year out at the Big O, and people really
I heard about
they reacted, and it was great. And so we'll start with a little story contest, and then I'll get up and host, and I'll probably read something quick, and then Tim will go up and do a few poems, and... we'll just see what happens. I might have another musician out there. But then the show is closing with a Lincoln City band called the Retroactive Gamma Rays, a blistering surf rock trio that is going to, and they're going to be dancing out at the Big O to surf rock as the sun goes down.
What's the cover for that? It's got to be pretty considerable.
It's zero. It's like our beaches in Oregon.
This is
free.
A gift, folks. This is a gift. And yes, and if you, Matt, are you on the web?
Can people find out
about your 15
Well, I would go to Coast Weekend. They just ran a big story, cover story. And so if you go to the Coast Weekend website, they've got all the information there. They've got a story that includes one of Tim's fine poems, 400 Kings. And
we're going to get a poem out of Tim before
and
we let him go.
It's all there. It's all on the Coast Weekend website. And you know,
do they list all 15 of your books or however many now?
But there will be books for sale. We're going to move them out on a special cut rate.
Matt is very prolific and absolutely delightful. And yes, as outrageous as he sometimes seems, he's also a fantastic school teacher and inspires the kids, as you can imagine. Just think back, you know, or think if you're still young enough to be in school now, how exciting it is and was to have a teacher who was alive and had a sense of humor.
That's awesome.
And makes you feel like, yeah, I want to do that. Walk in the rain and write about it or whatever it is.
I want to interject here. I do have one of my students AHS Astoria High School who's going to be performing at Fort George. He's a beatboxer, you know,
of
stuff. So he's going to kind of throw down a little bit.
Great. Everybody's going to want to go back to school, Matt. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Hey, Tim, what do you got for us?
Well, I better defer to my publisher, Matt. What do you want to hear?
Oh, Nestucca Press.
Fireball.
Fireball?
Excuse me, Nestucca Spit Press. That's not meaning like spit balls. It's meaning, I believe.
It's a very famous beach not down near Pacific City that I named my press for.
Okay. So I love that.
So I'll just give you a slice of this poem's called Fireball at the Bay Haven. And real quick, when the fishermen get hot and they come into port, they're very generous. And they go to a place called the Bay Haven Inn, which has been in Newport since 1908. And they ring the bell and buy fireball for every patron. Tourist and local come together when the fishermen get hot. So
nice.
This describes a character who's a thematic throughout the book named Terry. It's called Fireball at the Bay Haven. Terry's old trawler plows home heavy with 2 grand in tuna down below. His boombox rocks Boston across the bow. Boats watercolor the bay as his reflection jumps alive in a leap from the rail to the dream of what awaits on land. After his third DUI, the cops took his car, so he rides his 10-speed from the boat straight to the bar. Terry rings the ship's bell to buy the entire bar around. Not Jameson or Jack. He curiously calls out Fireball, the sweet cinnamon liquor preferred by Oregon coast fishermen and an entire generation of sorority girls. There's Fireball in Terry's eyes when he floats from the boat to the bar, calm the fear of the fishermen's wives. And it goes on, but that's a little slice.
Yeah.
Wow. So are you going to have any Fireball there?
That's an issue. Big O, Oldie Saloon, pulled out the Fireball and brought in the Sinfire, which is he's upset about that.
We're going to have to take issue with all due respect.
Oh, guys, listen, this is going to be a wonderful and delightful and fun event all day tomorrow. You don't need to be at everyone. If you can, that's great. But
just drop in.
Drop in. So, again, this is the Oregon Story Sessions, noon at Godfather's. That's on 11th and Commercial in Astoria. 2:30 at Fort George Lovell, which is 14th and Duane, and then out at the Big O, and that's
9.5 miles up Highway 202, past the high school. Just keep going out, and you'll find it.
Right.
In the middle of nowhere.
Right. You'll find it. Yeah, it is in the middle of nowhere. It's just right
it's
there.
Beautiful.
And there'll be sounds of fire or something coming out of there. Great. Thank you so much for coming in, Tim Sproul. First time on KMUN?
First time, yes.
First time on radio?
No, okay. I was on last week down in Newport, but my mother and father lived in Astoria. My mom would jump on, came on a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Terry by any chance?
Lynn Sproul, yeah.
Oh,
a champion of the environment.
And so Tim he is no longer a KMUN virgin, but he's no longer, now he's the real thing. Matt. Forget about it.
You know what, Carol? This is our sixth show together.
Oh, I love it. All right. Well, thank you so much
for
coming in. Matt
us.
Love, Tim Sproul.
Thank you.
And Willie Flauten is joining them tomorrow, along with a whole bunch of other people, for Nestucca Spit Press's Oregon Story Sessions. And check out the Coast Weekend. They got the cover and the centerfold, and they're all dressed, but somebody isn't. Okay. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right. And I do have some music coming from my next guest, who is actually a winner of the Long Beach Peninsula Acoustic Music Foundation Songwriting Contest. That is a mouthful. Joel is here with us right now. And even if we can't hear your song.
That's okay. Sorry about that.
Yeah. Well, maybe you can tell us where we can hear it. And I'll tell folks right now, tomorrow evening, I warned you, Saturday the 25th is a big one. Joel and three others are going to be at the Peninsula Performing Arts Center, and that is in Long Beach, 504 Pacific Avenue North in Long Beach, starts at 7 o'clock. And as I mentioned, so does this mean all four of you were the top four?
I believe so.
Yeah, because it sounds like it. Mm-hmm. The Long Beach Peninsula Acoustic Music Foundation Songwriting Contest.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay. So, Joel, I had no idea what you were going to look like. You are a very young man.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, my
thank
goodness.
You. Yeah.
Well, and you have quite the life these days. You're not only a songwriter, but you're also, I think, together with your wife. Is that right?
Uh-huh.
You are the owner of Adelaide's Coffee and Books.
That's right.
In Ocean Park.
That's right.
You're the barista.
That's right. Yeah.
And you're also a new papa.
Yeah.
Of twins.
Yeah, a couple little boys.
Well, you know, you look good. You don't look as though you're fine.
Yeah, we get a little bit of sleep. So
yeah,
good.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's the, tell us a little bit about your song, musical background. What's that?
Well, yeah. So I've been writing songs, playing guitar since, I was 13, 14, and I'm 30 now, so...
Where did you grow up?
Salem, Oregon.
Okay.
Yeah. And, I've played in rock and roll bands
all
along, yeah.
So did you start making music in just at home, in school?
First instrument I played was the trumpet. So that was kind of my introduction to music.
Was that in school?
Yeah, in school, yep. Yeah. Yep. And
I like to mention that because I think the arts in school are so important,
yes,
and yet
of
they
course.
Always get cut.
That's so true, that's true, yep. I had
nice.
A great experience playing music in school, and so that was kind of my first thing, and then I was in, choir, and then I picked up the guitar and found other friends that, mm-hmm. Were interested in music and kind of been playing in bands.
And where did the songwriting part come from?
I guess it came from, I had, learning to play guitar, I had friends who said, just turn on the radio and figure out the songs that you hear. Mm-hmm. And at first, I really struggled doing that, trying to pick up things. And I...
You mean to be able to play
to
by
be able to,
ear?
Yeah, kind of play along with things. Mm-hmm. And I became more interested in making up my own stuff. Because I could actually play it. Yeah. So,
oh, interesting.
Yeah, right. So it was more enjoyable for me.
Wow,
yeah.
That I don't think I've heard that before.
Oh, really?
So
yeah.
It came out of frustration with
a
trying to learn
bit.
Everybody else's
yeah,
tunes.
Yeah.
But had you been writing? Did you write poetry or
not
anything?
Not really. It just kind of all happened. I guess that as a songwriter for me, the music usually comes first. The progressions and the melody, and then the lyrics are something I always wrestle with.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of put that off. I'm a procrastinator
until
the end.
I can relate. So tell us about was it one song that you won with?
Yeah, or? Yeah. So I read about the competition in the Coast Weekend and, just said submit a song. And I've heard back a few months later. And
did you write the song just for the competition?
No,
or was
it was a song I wrote it a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't written specifically for the competition.
Tell us about it, since we couldn't hear.
I know, yeah. I'm so sorry.
Tell us.
The name of the song is called What If I Was Dying? And it's kind of just a conversation between two people or somebody who has, I guess, death on their mind. Mm-hmm. And kind of thinking about what it's going to be like when that point in their life comes.
Mm.
And I guess there's also some fear in that person's voice.
Now, tell me, how does that come to you? You're a young man with a new business, a new family.
Right.
What do you think?
I know. I have a really great life. I don't know where these depressing topics come up.
So many people avoid the topic of death.
That's
I think
true.
It's important that we don't avoid it. But
yeah.
I'm wondering where you were coming from.
I guess as a songwriter, I don't know, I feel like conflict is really interesting or like people really thinking things through. And so when I write a song, I like to kind of write stories, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And very rarely are they actually about things I've experienced or my personal life. I guess
okay.
It's just I try and think of something that keeps my interest.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously I've, dealt with death, family members and friends and things like that. But I'm not really sure what kind of spurred me to, really delve into that mm-hmm. idea with this song.
But. So now the other part of, big part of your life is Adelaide's Bookstore.
Yeah.
Which is a delightful place.
Oh, yeah. Thank
you. I've been there only a couple of times, but for some really wonderful events, too.
Yeah.
Now, where did that come from? Are you a book person, or were you looking for a small business?
We were coffee people, actually.
Uh-huh.
And so there's, an espresso bar and books there mm-hmm. at Adelaide's.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman, Cindy Hayward, who started Adelaide's, she was looking to sell the business because she was ready to do something else.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of through friends and family in Ocean Park, we heard about it and sat down with her and struck up a deal. And, on a Friday, Cindy was running it. And then on a Saturday, we were, and we just kind of took over. Yeah.
Were you living in Ocean Park by then?
We had just moved to Ocean Park.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This was 3 years ago now. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you've had Adelaide's that long?
Yeah. Uh huh.
Wow.
Yeah,
we'll
great.
Have to get tell us where it is.
Let's see here. It's right in Ocean Park. It's 1401 Bay Avenue.
Okay, so that's same as the Bay Avenue Gallery.
We're right across the street from them.
And all that.
Yeah, or Jack's. As Jack's. Well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All those names.
Yeah,
up there.
I know.
Okay. Do you ever make music in Adelaide's?
You know, we haven't. Actually, sometimes after hours, I'll stick around and mm-hmm. play a little bit. It's a fun mm-hmm. room to play in, but we haven't really done
You could have an open mic up there.
We should, yeah. Sometimes people come by and with a guitar and say, can I play? And, you know, so that'll happen kind of spur of the moment, which
That's
is fun.
Neat. Yeah. That's neat. Yeah, you've probably got a full plate right now.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
How old are your...
They're 4 months old.
To twins.
Twin boys, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
well, congratulations
Thank
to you.
You.
It's
Thank
pretty
you so
amazing.
Much.
You're just...
I know, yeah. A lot going
piling
on.
Piling on. Well, it's all good stuff.
Yeah,
so
of course.
May it continue for a long time.
Yeah, thank you.
And we would love to have you back. Maybe you'll... we'll get some of your music another time.
That works.
I'm so disappointed. Yeah, it's called What If I Was Dying?
Yeah.
And indeed, the CD died on
That's
us.
That's true. Wow.
Fortunately, Joel is here with us. Joel, how do you say your last name?
Oh, it's Urim.
Urim.
Yeah.
Okay. It's Uram, pronounced Urim.
That's
okay.
Right.
Okay. Joel Urim from Adelaide's Coffee and Books in Ocean Park, who is one of the winners and will be a performer of the Long Beach Peninsula Acoustic Music Foundation Songwriting Contest. And he, together with three others, will be at the Peninsula Performing Arts Center. That's 504 Pacific Avenue North in Long Beach, 7 o'clock tomorrow evening. And I believe that the Peninsula Pack is going to be taking some time off in August. So this is a good time to go and then get on their mailing list because they have some wonderful mm-hmm. music out there,
That's
too.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming
Thank
in,
you,
Joel Urim.
Yeah.
Now, have you been on?
No, it's my first time.
Have you been on radio before?
No, never.
Oh, my God. Yeah. This is a real radio version.
That's right,
No longer. Not anymore.
Yeah.
Come back anytime.
Thank you.
Okay,
Thank
thanks
you.
So much. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the music I wanted to play for you right now is actually coming up August 1st. Michelle Medler Quartet has a concert in the McTavish Room at the Liberty Theater from 7 to 9:30. On August 1st, which is a Saturday, and this is produced by our own Ben Hunt. Have a listen. Stay tuned, folks. This is Arts Live and Local with Carol, your host on Coast Community Radio. Thank you. Well, you're listening to Michelle Medler Quartet, Balance, and that is going to be not this weekend. Thank goodness we have so much going on this weekend. This is August 1st, a week from tomorrow night, 7 to 9:30 at the Liberty Theater in the McTavish Room, and it's produced by our own Ben Hunt, who has a wonderful jazz show here on Coast Community Radio. So speaking of jazz, and I will have some of his music afterwards, I've got Dave Drury in here. Dave used to be a KMUN jazz programmer, and someday, who knows? Who knows? Maybe he'll come back to us. But in the meantime, he's making... What was that?
That would be fun.
Okay. And so in the meantime, he's doing music in many places. But right now, yep, you got it. It's tomorrow evening. Yet another wonderful choice to enjoy your weekend. And this is Saturday, the 25th, 7 p.m. at the Performing Arts Center in Astoria. That would be 16th and Franklin. And this is actually a benefit for the Performing Arts Center, which we've been trying to support and keep alive and open ever since Clatsop College, which owns it, was financially unable to support it anymore. So thanks for doing that, Dave. That's
Thank
great.
You. Yeah.
And am I right? You kind of timed it because the fabulous Astoria Studio Tour is happening tomorrow and Sunday.
Right. It's connected with that, and they're going to have art for sale on display in the lobby. And
right. Yeah. So the lobby of the PAC will be, I won't even use the word decorated, it will be adorned, how's that?
Right.
With art by some of the local artists. So mm-hmm. it kind of segues the Astoria Studio Tour, which takes place in I think it's 23 venues with 37 artists tomorrow from 10 until 4, and again Sunday from 10 until 4. And then you can take a break and head over. So what are people going to be able to catch tomorrow evening?
Boy, it's
concert?
A real variety show, kind of. John Snyder has been one of my students for a long time, is going to play three songs and sing one.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll do a few original tunes. One of them will be the piece you'll play after this, mm-hmm. called Columbia. And then Todd Peterson and I will play as our Basin Street Northwest duo.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And then be joined by Bob Joyner, fine trombonist.
Oh, my. Yeah. From the North Coast Symphonic Band. Yeah.
Yep. And then, there'll be a few little other things I'll do that are original tunes about the area and the Columbia River. After their intermission, we'll have Alicia Ned singing.
I've heard her.
Very
wonderful.
Nice voice,
yeah.
Yeah. And then the final portion is actually the group Equinox. It's made up of Todd and myself and Shelley Loring.
Mm-hmm. On flute.
Flute, yep.
Okay.
That's a lot of fun.
Okay.
Astor Piazzolla music.
Oh,
and
wonderful.
All kinds of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So you've been very generous with your talents and time in supporting the PAC, and also you play with the symphonic band sometimes, don't you?
Now and then, yeah.
Yeah, and that's a little odd because you're the only one with a string instrument on the stage.
Right, yeah.
Everybody's up there with horns and drums and...
Well, yeah, and I actually have done a couple concerts with the Astoria Tuba Quartet, too.
Oh, God, oh, that's funny.
That's a real
That's
treat.
Great, that's
it
great.
Was neat.
Yeah, well, we are gifted with so much diversity of music here, so it's nice
are.
That you're doing. I'm going to start out some of your music while we talk just another minute, couple of minutes to so you get a feeling of what Dave sounds like. Are you still playing over at the Bridgewater sometimes?
Oh, yeah, I'm there. Well, Todd and I are there every Thursday night as a duo.
What's your name?
Basin Street Northwest.
Okay.
And then
There's your New Orleans jazz, folks, Basin Street.
Well, it sounds like it would be, yeah.
Of course, is that what they call that street anyway? There is no real street.
Yeah, it is. It's actually at 20 Basin Street.
I see. That's perfect, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. So you guys are there every Thursday night?
Every Thursday, okay. 6:30 to 9. Okay. And then I play either Friday or Saturday, alternately with pianists.
At the Bridgewater also?
At the Bridgewater,
okay.
Yeah.
Anywhere else you're...
Oh, still out at the country club a couple times a month.
Okay, so you keep pretty busy.
Yeah.
Did you ever have a, quote, normal, unquote, day job, or have you always been able to make your way with your music?
Well, I have been teaching guitar, too, at the college for 24 years as an adjunct teacher.
Mm-hmm. Adjunct.
Yeah, years ago, I actually had a...
Adjunct. I like that. I was an
adjunct. Adjunct teacher. Right?
I thought it was adjunct, but I like the way we're treated right. is more like adjunct. But I don't consider that a normal day job. I consider that part of the music world still.
I did have a custom cabinet business for years, too.
Okay.
And
so it's still in the arts, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Built some furniture that was fun to do.
Great. Wonderful. Well, this is Dave Drury, my guest, and again, he is the lead person on this concert. Do you have a name for your concert?
Well, it started out, I think one of the partners conceived it as an artistic event, and then when the poster and everything else was developed, it was changed to an evening with Dave Drury and Friends.
Okay, that's safe.
Because
we're never sure who's going to show up. Yeah. Okay, well, you can show up, folks who are listening, Saturday evening, 7 p.m. at the PAC. You can still do lots of the things that we're talking about on this show in addition. So do check in. And remember, this is a benefit for the Performing Arts Center, and it's a great way to see some more of the studio art, which is going to be showing all day Saturday, 10 to 4, and Sunday, 10 to 4, AstoriaArts.org. So thanks so much for coming in. I've got your music playing right now.
Well,
okay.
Thank you.
And that was Dave, and let's hear a little bit more of his music, and I'll bring in my last guests. Oh boy, folks, I have a room full of musicians, and they're all playing together. Now the mics are open, but it's okay. You can talk. Just make yourselves at home, you know.
Okay.
After all, we're all family here. This is Coast Community Radio with emphasis on community and also on live. Well, one of the people in the bunch is very familiar to our listeners. And, of course, that's Catherine Clare. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Carol. Nice to see you.
And you never quite know what she's going to come up with because she is skilled in various instruments and many genres, including children's, Celtic, original songs, and I'll let them tell you what they're doing this time. I'll just tell you it's called Big Bridges, the Portland, Japan Project. And so my other guests are, whose music you've heard before, but I don't know, Casey, have you been on KMUN before?
I've never been on the station before, so it's great to be
goodness,
here.
Goodness, Casey is a KMUN virgin. There we go. Not for long, though. Casey Neal. Now, you've heard his name and you've heard his music. As a matter of fact, on my Tuesday show, I played when Dana Lyons was here with Ann Feeney. I played his music, and I also played Dana Lyons' music, which Casey's featured on because you produced the album. So yep. I love this music community. So my brand new person, whom I had never met before, is Takashi Ohashi. Is that right? Is that how you say it?
Yes, correct.
Okay, what can I tell you, folks? It's spelled, well, Takashi is obvious. In English, that is obvious. I don't write Japanese, so you can figure that one out. But the Ohashi is spelled with an apostrophe. Mm-hmm. How did that happen?
For the credit card, I have to, my name is Ohashi. So if I spell it, it's going to be double O or two H. So I...
You put them together and you put an apostrophe in. So I asked, having never met him, I asked if he was perhaps his father was Irish because he's an Ohashi. And he's hanging out with Catherine Clare, who does Celtic music. Why not? But no, indeed.
Not really.
You are from Japan.
Yes, I am from Japan.
And what part of Japan are you from?
I'm born in Aichi Prefecture. And I spend most of the time in Tokyo.
In Tokyo.
Yes.
And is that where you started your music world?
Yes.
How long have you... Do you live here now?
Or yes, I do.
Oh, you do?
Now,
with your lovely wife. Okay.
Yes.
Who is hovering in the background. And how did all three of you meet? Oh, Casey, they're all pointing to Casey. Casey, the culprit.
Takashi and we all had a mutual friend from in the musician community in Portland, and Takashi came to town and...
And I was looking for the collaborator for the writing song, finished writing songs. I wrote music, and I don't write English lyrics, so I was looking for the partner, and a mutual friend introduced Casey to me.
They just knew that it would kind of, you would fit together, is that?
At first, Takashi was just visiting, and so we just kind of worked on some demos to see if it would work, and those went really well, and then he moved to Portland, and... Yeah. We've been performing around Oregon and in Japan.
Fabulous. Now, Casey, had you been to Japan performing or otherwise before?
I had been to Japan about 10 years before playing backup guitar for Hans Araki. Playing Irish music, playing his music. And
see, I told you there was this Celtic connection.
Oh, yeah. And so that was, 2003, I think.
Okay.
And I spent some time in Japan when I was very small.
Oh,
my parents lived there for 6 months at one point.
Wow.
When I was a year and a half old.
Okay.
All of the members of Big Bridges has deep relation to Japan.
Well, and I know Catherine does
in
from your family background as well as your own travels.
Exactly,
so.
Yeah, my father was a Japanese teacher and lived there. I lived there in high school with my family. Yes. And so every person in the project has this amazing connection. So it's been a really...
It's beautiful.
Beautiful connection. And we should talk a bit about the name, Big Bridges, because I think that's definitely an aspect of it is this idea of making a bridge.
Yeah, like both sides of the Pacific Ocean, maybe cultures and peoples. Maybe we can be, our music can help to that connections to grow up.
Nice. Yeah. Now, had you planned on coming to the United States and making music? Is this something that you wanted to do as you were growing up making music, or how did it all?
I started my career 30 years ago.
30.
So 85. And since then, I've been chasing music. I've always chasing music to create something interesting, something new, something good. And now I'm here.
Oh, and we are delighted. So you are actually living in Portland?
Yes.
Couldn't be better. Wow. Well, we have time. I would love to hear you folks play something for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
We released an album called Will to Ascend, and we'll leave it with the station so that you can play some of the tracks from that. But and we toured that in Japan and in the U.S. this year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a wonderful album, but we've also been excited to be creating some new music. So we're going to actually play a new song that we have not recorded yet.
Right. Oh, my. Okay. Yeah. I hope I do it justice here. Okay.
Yeah. Right? The sea of time.
Sea of time.
Okay.
At the center of the earth, in the mantle under the crust, it's been given the name the Sea of Time, shimmering crystalline. There is an ocean under all the other oceans, times the size, sparkling icy blue encased in the rock, in deepest dark it shines. The sea of time, the sea of time, the sea of time, the sea of time. Can you hear it calling, calling out? I'm told heaven clouds, hellfire burns underground. When I feel the sun and dream of this blue world, it's the other way around. The sea of time, the sea of time, the sea of time, the sea of time. Can you hear it calling, calling out? Let me float on the sea of time. I want to sail the sea of time. How I long to swim and die deep inside. Sea of time, I want to sail the sea of time. How I long to swim and die deep inside. The sea of time, the sea of time, the sea of time, the sea of time. Can you hear it calling, calling out to you?
my, that was beautiful.
Thank you.
I am honored. Yes, we are just about out of time. So let's just tell folks again. Actually, we didn't tell them the first time. I just realized. These folks are playing tonight, this very night, at the Adrift Hotel in Long Beach. And what time? 8 o'clock, is it?
9 o'clock.
9 to 11.
Okay. And this is, my guests are Catherine Clare, Casey Neal. Those two were on voice as well as violin. And do you call it a violin when you're playing this kind of music?
Sure.
I do.
Yeah.
Yes. And what is that?
Melodica.
Ah, of course, the melodica.
The mini accordion.
There you go.
For people that can't play accordion.
It's a heck of a lot easier to carry around, too, isn't it? And Takashi Ohashi on guitar.
Yes,
thank you all for coming in. This was just gorgeous.
Thank you.
Tonight. You just need to get there. The Adrift Hotel, it's the Pickled Fish upstairs, and everybody knows they have music every night. So this is special. You're just doing the one night.
Just one night.
Yeah, that's unusual. They usually do two and three, so obviously it's well worth it. So thank you so much for being here. I'm going to quickly run down some other things that are going on, and especially Troll Radio Review is tomorrow. It's our first live radio broadcast outside, so it's at the Fort George Brewery and Public House, and that is on Duane, closer to 14th, but between 14th and 15th, you'll hear it, 11 to noon, and it's going to be, you'll definitely hear it because the Napa Marimba Band is going to be there, and they're great. Derek Moore is joining us, and Troll Radio House Band. Also, oh boy, we're out of time. I'm sorry. ASOC, Coaster, Papa. There's all kinds of theater tonight and tomorrow night. And Matt, you heard from the studio tour is this weekend. And so is Missoula Theater and Dave Drury and the Peninsula Pack. And that's it. I'm out of time.